Welcome to this week's episode of the Electric Podcast. I'm Fred Lambert, your host. And as usual, I'm joined by Seth Weintraub. How are you, Seth?
I'm good. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Big week this week. We got the release from Tesla's quarterly numbers, which is we're going to spend some time on that. But then we're going to move on to sort of our look since it's our first episode of the new year. We're going to take a look at what to expect from Tesla and the entire EV market in 2019. And that's going to be it. That's going to be a lot of stuff to say, probably.
Yeah, 2019 should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the big release of Tesla's numbers earlier this week. They confirm another record quarters with 90,700 cars delivered, which is, that was an 8% increase over the last quarter, which was also a record quarter. So that's good. Production, in terms of production, we're talking about 86,555 cars, which is also an increase over the last quarter. But that might be where Tesla didn't deliver as much as people would expect. In terms of the deliveries, that 90,000 is split between Model 3 with 63,000, Model S and X with 13 and 14,000 each. We can look at the chart here. Always impressive for Tesla, the quarterly chart. And the growth this year in 2018 was humongous. 244,000 vehicles delivered throughout the year, which is basically double what Tesla delivered ever since its inception over a decade ago. So
that's interesting. That's the way Apple used to deliver iPhones. They would say, all right, how many iPhones are you going to deliver in 2010? And they would say, well, just add up 2007, 2008, 2009. That's how many 2010 will be. And that was the case for quite a while.
Yeah, that's basically it, right? Because we just reported recently when they hit 500,000 car, the global fleet now is that's over 500,000. So almost half of them were delivered this year. It's insane. A few other things to mention. We reported earlier in the week, just before the new year, that Tesla basically ended the year with over 3,000 Model 3 vehicles in inventory in the U.S. That's the Model 3 in the U.S. What's interesting about that is that, first of all, Tesla was trying to liquidate all vehicles in the U.S. specifically in 2018. Because of the price change, the federal tax credit change phase out that happened, which is going to affect the demand for sure. Not only the demand, because people would want to buy the car less because it's a little bit more expensive, but also because the phase out created so much of a boost of demand at the end of the year that it automatically resulted in demand going down the next quarter. So it's something to think about. But the other facet to this is that it's still like a lot better than any other current automaker out there, because 3,000 units is roughly 4 days of production for Tesla in terms of the Model 3. So that's something that Tesla also mentioned in the release, that basically their inventory is it's leading in its class in terms of the U.S. market.
Yeah, I was really surprised on the news with the inventory. I was surprised to see the stock go down 2%. It seemed like, to me, that would have been like really good news and something for the stock to jump on.
Yeah, well, it depends really what, because I was in the same boat. I thought it was kind of good news because a lot of the shorts were talking about like 5-10,000 units in inventory in the U.S. that Tesla wasn't able to sell. I don't think that was based on facts. I don't think that, well, at some point it might have been that kind of inventory in the U.S., but they were basing that a lot on Tesla really pushing for people to order cars at the end of the quarter. They were like, we can still deliver in time. Elon Musk was tweeting all the time about that, and yeah, for sure, they were still vehicle available. That's why they were doing it, but not at the level that I think the Tesla shorts were thinking. Yet, it had a negative effect on the stock for for that reason. So maybe they thought it was even less than that, which would be surprising, really. But there's still a few of those vehicles in the U.S. while Tesla switches production now to switches production to the European and the Chinese model of the vehicle. So there won't be as many vehicles to deliver, so they shouldn't build too much on that inventory. But yet, the other big news that came out with the production numbers was that Tesla was reducing the price in the U.S. of all its vehicles, basically including the Model 3, which will help them work through that inventory that they built out at the end of the quarter. And also keep some demand for building new U.S. cars. Basically, it's at $2,000 on each version of the Model S, S, and X, bringing the price down basically before any incentive of the Model 3 to $44,000, and for the Model S back to $76,000, which was actually the base price just a few months ago or earlier last year.
Yeah, that was interesting. They took $2,000, which is half of a little bit more than half of the $3,750 price. The amount of tax refund that people are getting, so they're bearing half the burden of the price, the overall price increase.
At the same time, like, some people are more easily convinced by a $2,000 discount right now,
right?
Over, especially in the beginning of the year, because you won't see that money on your tax refund until what's the tax season in the U.S.? Is it April?
So it'll be April, but April of 2020.
Yeah, so that's far away. So that $2,000, you know, even though with interest you won't make that thousand, that $1,700 difference, but still, it's sometimes it's easier to convince people with that than with the tax credit. So, all right, what happened next is that Tesla stock basically tumbled by like 10% over the news of the numbers. So the news of the numbers, production delivery numbers, came at the same time as the news as the price reduction. So it wasn't clear to what the market was responding so badly, really, with a 10% drop over 2 days. I have to assume that the delivery numbers are not it. Like, a bunch of headlines where market doesn't like the delivery numbers, but 90,000, I haven't seen any expectation that was over 90,000. Like, most of them I've seen was in the 80,000 range. Mine was 85,000 to 90,000, so that was in the higher end of my expectation. So I really don't see how, like, those numbers could have affected the stock by that much. Like I said, the production numbers are a little bit more, because at 86,000, and especially with the Model 3, which wasn't... what was the production number of the Model 3? 61,394. So that adds up to about 4,700 per week, which is not even 5,000 sustained. That's the average throughout the whole quarter. So we've reported before that Tesla has been able to do some kind of burst of production for a week or a few days, or even a few hours sometimes. But they haven't been able to maintain that, like, 7,000 production rate that they were supposed to hit earlier this year. So that's might be something that the market is reacting to, though I don't think there were that many of any indication of them having sustained it throughout the quarter, so I don't know where the expectation came from exactly. And the last thing, of course, is the price reduction, which I think also affected the stock badly, because it shows that Tesla really needs to reduce the price in order to maintain some kind of demand in the U.S. for its vehicles. Do you agree with that?
So that is curious, and you make a good point. So on the production numbers, we of course expected them to go above 5,000 and 6,000 this quarter. So that's a little bit lower than we would hope for. But yeah, I think you're right. The bigger point is that the reduction of the margin on the cars has, you know, why does Tesla have to do that? You know, clearly the tax incentive they think is going to be an issue. So so the fact that Tesla just lopped $2,000 of margin off of every car they sell.
Well, that's the thing, though. We don't know if they had to. Well, for sure, it's going to reduce their margin, but they're reducing the price, so the overall cost is going to change. But the question is it affecting the margin more than it was like last quarter, or have the margin improved? And now reducing the price by $2,000 doesn't change the margin much versus what they were guiding for.
I mean, it's a tough call because, like, they're still, you know, they made a profit on a $46,000 base model, Tesla Model 3. They're going to make money on a $44,000 one.
Probably.
But they're not making as much. So it's not as, you know.
The question is how much the margin have improved throughout the quarter in order for them to do that $2,000? Because they probably have improved.
Yeah, unquestionably they're getting cheaper to make, for sure.
Yeah, they're getting cheaper to make, but because my point is with that disappointing fact that the average production throughout the quarter wasn't as high as we expected. Maybe it's because they focused on the production efficiency instead of increasing ramping up production in order to work with those margin basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I still expect margins to be down, though, for sure, overall for the Model 3 throughout the fourth quarter, because if you compare with the third quarter where the margins were crazy high, they were crazy high because people like me were buying the Model 3 Performance, which has crazy high margins. In the fourth quarter, the mid-range vehicle, even though they probably, like, again, they still make money on it, they for sure make a lot less money than they do on the Model 3 Performance, even with that $5,000 dollar difference in the Model 3 Performance that they had to pay back after
your tweet.
After Elon decided that. I didn't decide that. I just pointed out that it wasn't fair, and he agreed.
Fred, yeah. Fred, you gave Elon an Indian burn, and he had to relinquish the $5,000 to all the early Model 3 Performance buyers.
Yeah. And while we're on the subject, on the, like, the gross margins and the tax credit, I think we should mention the GM thing, which GM confirmed that they've hit the mark too, that the $200,000 delivery threshold for the flow tax credit phase out in the U.S., which they confirmed that they hit that during Q4, which they were already guided for, so it's not a big surprise. But now it's confirmed that starting with Q2 2019, they're going to have the same situation as Tesla, where GM buyers or of electric vehicles are going to have $3,700 instead of the $7,500.
I wonder if that played into their decision to discontinue the Volt.
Yeah, most likely, right?
Because it's
March. The timing is now perfect. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't remember, they're stopping production of the Volt in March, and the car would automatically become $3,700 more expensive the next month. But they're still going to have, if they stop production in March, they're still going to have some in inventory, right?
They're going to probably have them on inventory all year. Because yeah, they're not really trying to sell them.
And now it's going to be even tougher to sell without the full tax credit.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also confirmed the Bolt EV's delivery number, which was for the last quarter 6,200 in the U.S. The Volt was still 5,000, which isn't bad. Entire delivery number for the year, though, are kind of disappointing. For the Bolt TVs, 18,000 delivered, which is down 22% over last year.
I don't know how they got to 200,000, like, with those numbers. They've been delivering the Bolt forever.
They've been delivering the Volt, yes, since 2011, when the program actually started too. So they were, like, right into the program and very early on.
Right.
So at first they were delivering, I think they had it here at close to 80,000, did they? Or 60?
Yeah, 50? last year.
Yeah, they had a big year.
Or was that US?
Yeah, but in the U.S., I'm pretty sure they had to have, like, a year of 50,000 in the U.S. with the Volt at one point. Which, like, it's a quarter of the 200,000 deliveries right away. But yeah, this year was pretty low. Like, yeah.
You know what's crazy about the Bolt is every single person I know who has a Bolt, and I know quite a few, loves their Bolt. They've hated the seat since the beginning. The seats. They've had problems with the spinning wheels. But for the most part, like, it's a great car, but they all say the same thing. Like, the dealers hate Bolts. Like, they hate to sell them. They hate to, you know, even talk about them. That they don't think GM really cares about electrics. Like, they don't, there's no,
you know, they're going all in electric set. Come on.
I know. All in electric. Their PR department loves electrics, but nobody else at GM, and especially the dealers, and particularly the dealers, have no, like, they have no interest. They have no, you know, they read the same things we do, that GM is going to be 100% electric, but there is zero acknowledgement of that at a dealer. Like, a typical experience going into a GM dealer or a Chevy dealer is, hey, I want to buy a Bolt. I did all my research. First guy will come at you, or a woman will say, yeah, but what about a Chevy Cruze? We're having a sale on those. Or, you know, Malibu or whatever. Then if you finally make it through that gauntlet, then you get the guy in the back closet who's like the EV guy who like will just read off a brochure and tell you to go take a ride in one. It's just not happening. Like, GM will not acknowledge that they don't have any kind of support at their dealership, which is the face point for most customers. And add in that there's no cohesive charging network. And, you know, Electrify America is coming, and I know you have a lot of confidence in them. But, like, today, like,
But I have a lot of confidence in them for the cars that can charge 100 kilowatts and 100 kilowatts and up. For the Bolt EV, I don't think the Electrify America makes a big difference at that kind of charge rate.
They'll charge at 54, but
yeah,
it's not.
So it still doesn't allow for like a decent long distance travel opportunity. No. But to your point, I have to assume that it's monetary. It's like it has to do with the profits,
right?
We know that GM makes all their money from trucks and SUVs. I have to assume that it's the same thing for the dealerships too. That's where they make their money, and then you look at the Bolt, which has been rumored to doesn't make any money for GM unless they sell them in a carb state, and then the only like actual profit on it is the fact that they get credit to be able to sell those trucks. So there's probably not enough of incentive for the dealership to sell those cars, which goes back to why I wanted to talk about that in the first place and talk about GM losing their incentive. I think it's going to hurt them a lot for the Bolt. Like you said, the Bolt is going away at the same time, so the timing is probably not a coincidence. But for the Bolt, I mean, you say all the owners that you know love the car, and same thing for me. But I think many of those owners wouldn't have bought the car if it was $4,000 more expensive or whatever it's going to be. It's all in all, like, if you want to have a decent option, it's a $40,000 car. You take $7,500 out. That's a $30,000 car, $33,000 car. I think it's still expensive for the level of luxury that you get in a car. Like, for $33,000, you can get a much better car, but like, the electric aspect comes into play and people buy it. Now it's going to be a $37,000 car with just the federal tax rate. I think in California it's still going to be okay with the, what is it? It's $2,500 more that you get.
Yeah, and then the Edisons are also, the electric companies are also giving you $1,000. So. You know,
yeah, that's still good.
You kind of climb your way back, but yeah, it's going to be a big hit, especially, and this is the big problem, GM hasn't improved the thing, like, meaningfully. Like, you can get it in shock yellow now, but like, of all the people complaining about the seats day one in 2016, they haven't made much of a change at all to any part of the Bolt.
No.
And like, it's pretty frustrating because like, the Bolt could be a very like amazing, like pretty amazing car. It's the only like kind of hatchback form factor that you can buy right now.
They would need to make like $200,000 a year and bring the price down to like $30,000. Then it would be like a crazy popular car, much like what they're doing in the Leaf. If you look at the pricing with the Leaf, I'm much less concerned about the what's going to happen with the Leaf after the federal crash credit, because I see a pathway to reducing the price and be it competitive. You could think maybe GM's going to pull a Tesla, and in April they're going to reduce the price of the Bolt, which is a possibility. But I'm very doubtful because, again, like we said, I don't think they are making any money on it outside of the CARB credits, like the ZEV credits. And LG is so much involved in terms of like the battery pack production, all the infotainment system, all the electronics in the car, that they have a big say on the actual price of the car. So if they still want to make money on it, or again make money based on the ZEV credit, and they want to reduce the price, LG probably has a lot to say about that.
Yeah, and additionally, there's some competition in the market now. Like, yeah, you know, it used to be the Chevy Bolt, but now you've got the Hyundai Kona, and wait, did I get that right?
Kona EV, yeah.
And, yeah, Kona and the...
And the Niro EV is going to be also...
Niro, right.
But, like, those ones, yeah, for sure, they're a little bit of a competition, but... I'm really worried about the volume of those ones in terms of availability. So even though they're going to make an impact, like how big of an impact they make if they just sell the minimum they can, which looks like it's so far based on what they're seeing in terms of the rollout, which is going to focus in California, then in Carb State. So we'll see. We'll see. We're going to actually test not the Kona yet. For some reason, we cannot get our hands on a Kona EV, but we're going to test out the Niro EV later this month. So stay tuned for that.
And we'll also have a first look at a new Nissan Leaf next week.
Yeah, which should be the most anticipated 60 kilowatt hour one that we've been talking about for years, but never makes it to market. We should know about that next week.
Maybe there'll be active battery cooling in this one.
That'd be awesome. The mid-range Model 3 get a range increase. Yep. It went from 260 miles to 264 miles EPA estimate. So we checked out with Tesla, and Tesla actually confirmed that it's just based on the tests, and not there's no hardware or software change that pushed this increase of advertised range. They did some tests with the EPA, and they are now more confident about the range being closer to 264 than 260. The EPA number haven't been updated yet, but they should be soon. Maybe the government
shutdown
has something to do with it.
Yeah, no kidding. It's kind of interesting because that kind of pushes it closer to 310. I mean, a little bit, but psychologically, it's quite a bit closer to 310. And, you know, I think a lot more people might pick it up just because, you know, if you're looking for the lower cost rear-wheel drive version, and that extra 30 miles isn't going to be a big deal. Like, I have to say... Like, you know, if I was buying one right now and I was going, mine is a rear-wheel drive, I certainly wouldn't care about the range. I would like to have all-wheel drive, but, you know, especially until summer. But
yeah, they could release this one, like the mid-range battery pack with the dual motor setup.
That would be cool.
That would be a dumb-in lever for sure. Like, it would create some dumb-in for car.
They could also
that and release the starter battery pack.
And leasing and...
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're gonna go into that when we go into the 2019 stuff in a few minutes. But just real quick before we, there was some indication that Tesla started to work on switching production to the European version of the Model 3. They registered a bunch of VIN numbers that are European VIN numbers for the Model 3. So we know that Tesla already planned to switch production in January, but it looks like they're doing it pretty quickly in the month. And already over 6,000 Model 3, European Model 3 being registered that should be produced soon, shipped, and delivery should start next month. Tesla also opened the Model 3 design studio in Europe and China to the public. So far, ever since last month when they started taking orders for the Model 3 in Europe and China, it was just open to reservation holders. And what we learned today with a tally that some reservation holders have been keeping up in Europe, Tesla had about 14,000 orders from reservation holders over the last month, and now today they opened up to the whole public basically, so you don't have to have a reservation in order to place an order, but it's still just for the performance version and the all-wheel drive long-range versions. So that's why 14,000 for some people that seems not a lot. But it was Tesla maybe opened the studio for, I don't know, like 100,000 reservation holder in Europe, and like only 14% of them bought the car. But again, with like maybe we expected like that 14 to 20% of the people are going to buy those version of the car. We knew that the base version is probably going to be like a big number, like 50% of orders. Then the mid-range version is going to probably take some of that mix too and expand that to like a 60-70% total. So I'm really not concerned about that number at all. I just think that it's because it was just reservation holders and just those two versions of the car. But yeah, now anyone can order it, so maybe that number is going to go up. Moving on to... All right, what to expect from Tesla in 2019? I posted that earlier this week. A lot of people have a lot to say about it. Let's start with the Model 3, since we've already been talking about it. So I think the main thing is going to be the European and Asian expansion, of course. But in terms of the actual car itself, I don't think we're going to see any update from the Model 3 2019. But we should finally see the standard battery pack and the non-premium interior. So the full car at $35,000, which is going to be a big diamond lever. And like you said, the leasing thing should start in 2019 too. Probably in the second half of the year, which also going to be the diamond lever, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wonder. The leasing program includes the federal tax credit. Tesla just takes it. I wonder how they're going to work that out, because the lease terms will change in July, because it'll go from $3,750 to like $1,800 or whatever. I wonder if, I mean, I guess that's a small amount when you extrapolate over a couple years. But it'll be, I know a lot of people who will only lease cars, and they're waiting for this. So you're thinking
Tesla's going to accelerate the timeline of the leasing in order to get more of those tax credit? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it seems like it would be a smart move. I mean, right now, because Elon said that, you know, it's a cash thing, the reason to hold back. So that's certainly a component, but, you know, if the cash is there, they should try to get as much of that, federal tax credit in the leasing model as possible. And I feel like, as you said, the demand lever, it's probably one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. It depends if they need it or not too.
Right.
Do they need that demand lever or not? And like you said, is the $1,800 difference is worth the cash that Tesla need to invest in order to deliver those lease vehicles? We'll see. But yeah, my expectation is Tesla could deliver as many as 380,000 Model 3s 2019. I see Tesla finally trying to pick up production in the next few months to get that elusive 7,000 a week solid. And probably 10,000, but 10,000 in the second half of the year.
So you're thinking 100,000 a quarter Model 3s, ish.
Yeah, a little bit less than that, but
toward the end, yes.
Probably closer to like 80, the first two, and then going up significantly the second half of the year. Tesla Model Y, we're gonna finally see it in 2019. I am sure. When? And I'm not so sure. Elon Musk has been talking about the March 15, 2019 for a while now, but he said that like almost a year ago and hasn't really updated that date, so I'm not sure if it's still the plan, and it's coming up like quite fast. So we know that he confirmed the prototype already, said confirmed the prototype to move to the next stage, so probably like the alpha prototype to the beta and the pre-production one. So they have something for sure to show us, but when are they going to show it to us? I don't know for sure.
Yeah, they've already showed us some teasers.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it looks like it looks kind of like a Model X, a little shorter and stubbier maybe. We don't know for sure if it's going to have the Falcon Wing doors.
That's a big question, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a big polarizing thing, because some people love them, some people hate them.
Well, we did a survey on that when it was like first not sure if they're gonna be or not, and yeah, I think the majority of readers would like were not on the Model Y. But I think that was at a time too that there was still some issues with the Model X doors, and that has been mostly solved in my understanding. So now that people are more confident in the Falcon Wing doors, maybe they'll be okay with the Model Y. I think them.
No, as long as it doesn't add too much to the price. I think we don't want to see another $50,000 starting price car. Although that's probably going to happen.
Yeah. So the big thing with that, so probably in March, if not later this year, we're going to finally see the vehicle itself, see the design, but we think it's going to be, the interiors are going to be very close to Model 3, so no surprise there. The design should be it's going to be a big event and everything, but I don't think the design is going to be that big of a deal because, like you said, probably like close to Model X and Model 3, so it's going to be a matchup of those. The big thing, though, is going to be like the specs, if Tesla can deliver on the specs, and the production plan. Like, this thing is supposed to come in 2020, the rumor is. There's no factory confirmed for it yet. There's a lot of speculation about it being a Gigafactory 1, which would make sense. But, a clear production schedule, production plan would be awesome to have. Let's see, in a few weeks, maybe a few months.
Yeah. Also, the third row seat kind of makes it a more interesting car.
That was a rumor also, but maybe we'll see. The Tesla pickup truck, why we mention it right after the Model Y is because we want to see it at the same time as the Model Y. That would be awesome. And there's some chance of that based on what Elon has been saying the last few months. He says that after the Model Y, the pickup truck is going to be a high priority for Tesla. And he did say that we might see the prototype in 2019. So maybe Tesla want to spread out like two events throughout the year. But I mean, there's not that much of a precedent for that. Like, a bunch of people have been telling that to me, but I don't see the precedent for that because Tesla hasn't had an unveiling event since the Tesla Semi event, and the Tesla Semi event was the unveiling of the Tesla Semi and the Roadster, so I think there's much more precedent for that than anything else, so I'm very hopeful for that pickup truck, but I wouldn't hold my breath either. Tesla Model S and X. That's going to be a big year, I think. 2019 is going to be a big year for the Model S and X. We already reported on a planned interior design refresh for the Model S and X. That should come in Q3, probably closer to July, so half a year, 6 months from now, approximately. The design is going to be much closer to Model 3. We already posted a bunch of image of that, so you can just go to the track and see what we did about that. But I think what we need to consider is that it's probably not just going to be an interior refresh. And then I'm not talking about an exterior refresh or anything like that. That I think is going to come later. But I think there's going to have to be some performance upgrade for the Model S and X platform in 2019. Because there hasn't been much of it or any of it in 2018. So basically the 100 kilowatt hour battery pack was the last upgrade, right? I think so, right?
Yeah, I mean.
And that was 2016, right?
Right.
So yeah, it's overdue for some kind of performance upgrade. And I know that Elon Musk has been saying we don't do refresh at Tesla and stuff like that, which, okay, yeah, fair enough. It's great that Tesla do introduce improvement all the time, like continuously, mostly small improvement, and that's great. But Tesla has definitely done a refresh. Like, there wasn't, the front end refresh was came with a bunch of other modification on the exterior too, And that interior refresh is going to be a refresh for sure. You cannot say it's not a refresh. It's going to introduce two whole new different screens inside the car, a different steering wheel, a whole different dash. I mean, that's a refresh. And it makes sense to, like, it's not like all the screen's going to be ready, so we're going to introduce the screen first as soon as it's ready. It doesn't work like that with the interior. So the screen match the new dash, and the center screens also works with the new instrument cluster screen, so you have to update the whole thing at the same time, so it has to be a refresh,
right?
But anyway, I know what he meant, but
no, I think what he meant was we don't want people to not buy cars for the next few months because of this refresh.
Probably. You're probably right about that,
which, but I like think I said, it's less of a concern than they probably make it out to be.
Yeah. But I think there's other thing that's going to boost them in at the same time, too. Like, it's not going to be just the interior refresh. I think there's going to be some performance improvement. And I'm not saying those have to be introduced at the same time as the refresh. So it could be spaced out to work differently to create them sometimes. But I know that it would be frustrating to like test introduce a 110 kilowatt hour battery pack and people jump on it, and then 2 months later they introduce a new interior. That would be like, so I think it would make some more sense to introduce the whole thing at the same time. But I think there's going to be an update, and what's pushing me to think that it's going to be maybe a little bit sooner than most people expect is the Supercharger V3, which is supposed to come in the next few months, and that's supposed to introduce an higher charge rate for Tesla Supercharger network. And the higher charge rates mean that the vehicle needs to be able to take a higher charge rate. And for Model S and X, there hasn't been any indication that 120 kilowatts is not the limit. So for Model 3s, it looks like it could be already, they could be future proof to a certain degree, maybe not at 200 kilowatts, but like higher than 120. Not for Model S and X. So it would be, make sense to have some kind of powertrain update to be able to take that. That new charge rate, right?
Right. We're thinking like something like the Taycan, which is 800 volt system, which is roughly double the Tesla's current system. So you have 800 volt from motor to battery to basically the whole DC system. You're basically doubling the throughput. You're doubling the throughput to the batteries, to the motor. So that gives you a lot more performance. Possibilities, both in charging and acceleration and all that other stuff. So, I mean, that would be the what seemingly obvious jump. But you know, Tesla can do whatever it really wants. It doesn't need to jump to a specific, 700, 800, 900 volts.
Yeah, because our understanding is that the Model 3 can get up to 170 kilowatts, I think, of charge rate, and they did it without an 800 volt system. So
right.
They could be maybe just updating to the 2017 architecture for the battery pack on the Model S and X could do the job. I don't know exactly. I don't know all the details on that, but I think it has to come. It has to come relatively soon, and that's going to be another demon lever for Tesla for the Model S and X series, which have been doing well in terms of sales. I mean, they've been able to deliver almost 100,000 of them last year, so that's quite good for a vehicle, like we said, that's not becoming near its tail, but we haven't seen much of a grade in a few years, so I think 2019 is going to be a big year for it. Tesla Semi. I don't expect much of the Tesla Semi in 2019, even though Tesla have been saying that's going to be the year that they're going to start production on it. But if they do, I think it's going to be late in 2019 and most likely low volume in 2019, so I don't think it's gonna be a big deal. What I'd like to see though is that they've been talking about the development program resulting in some improvement in the actual specs of the car for the production version, so maybe they could release those specs in 2019 and tell us exactly what buyers is gonna get out of that truck. That would be awesome. Tesla Autopilot should still continue improving. Expectations are finally get those full-fledged enhanced autopilot feature that Tesla have been promising for like almost 3 years now. So those, what we've been seeing with the latest rewrite of the neural net and things like navigate on autopilot, it looks like Tesla's coming pretty close to those things. So I think we're going to see them in 2019. And of course, Elon Musk has been guiding like full self-driving system by the end of the year. That seems a little bit ambitious for me. The new hardware 3.0, which we got a bunch of information on it. We don't go into details on it today, really, but can check. We just posted that based on our good friend Vary Green, which who hacked the latest version of the Tesla software, has been able to get some cool details about the hardware 3, which should launch in the next few months, and that should also help Tesla deliver more advanced autopilot features, leading to self-driving at some point. Supercharger, we just talked about the Supercharger V3, and it's been delayed a few times, but it should come in early 2019 now, and I think this is finally going to deliver on that.
Do you think V3 will be CCS combo, or do you think it'll be still Tesla's own standard?
I think it would make sense to go CCS at this point.
Yeah,
you're doing it with dual charger.
Because it's not a better standard. It's just everywhere. It's much bigger. It's much bigger. So like that little spot on the Model S and X where you know, the little light that switches is going to have to be a much bigger hole in the car. But
I mean, like they did it in the Model 3, it's like it's no big deal. I mean,
no, it's not a huge
you deal. Only see it when you actually open the charge port. It's not like how they did it in China. It's bad. Like it's well, it's not that bad really, but like it's as bad as a gas pump. As a gas. Right. Whatever you call it, like the gas where you access your gas tank. So yeah, I don't think that's a big deal. But at the same time, yeah, that it's that or an adapter. I mean, but right. I use so little other charging network than Tesla Supercharger network, and I think most people in the U.S. do. And if they really deliver on the expansion, like just the coverage of the supercharger network, if they deliver on that, then yeah, for sure they don't really need the CCS because the Tesla owners won't really want to go to any other station. I think
it's true,
especially based on the cost basis, because Tesla is normally cheaper too. Tesla Energy, the Mega Pack. We're gonna finally see the Mega Pack in 2019. That's our biggest expectation for Tesla Energy. There's going to be a ramp up of Powerwall too, for sure. We've started seeing that in the last few months, but still a giant backlog for Tesla in terms of the Powerwall. If you place a reservation and you're not in the very high diamond charges area or something like that, you won't even get a call back, really. Huge expansion of Tesla Energy in terms of our commercial and utility scale project. We've been talking about the gigawatt hour project that Tesla is doing with PG&E in California. Those are going to have mega packs, so we're going to finally see the mega pack. But in terms of solar, Tesla has been pretty much flat and slowly ramping up solar since they basically cut the business in half to focus on a more profitable system. We should see a little ramp up in 2019. Nothing is going to affect Tesla's financial much. The solar roof, that's one that's been a lot delayed this year, last year I should say. We should see another ramp up in 2019 of that product, but I don't have my hopes up so much because we just saw a recent installation, and it took the installer said that it took them like 12 days to install, which is a lot of time. So they not only need to ramp up production in Buffalo and Gigafactory 2, they also need to figure out a way to just bring the install time down to just a few days instead of 2 weeks, basically, which is not really scalable at the level that they were talking about, in my opinion. So some hurdles to overcome here for Tesla solar roofs.
Yeah, what about the power pack or the power walls? We're gonna start. Power walls are supposed to ramp up this year.
They were supposed to ramp up in Q4, apparently.
Oh, really?
Well, maybe they did. We don't know yet. Like, yeah, that's why the Tesla. Why doesn't Tesla release those numbers too at the same time as the cars numbers? That'd be nice.
I mean, I guess it's just a fight for batteries, right? Like, they're just they don't have enough batteries coming out of the factory to make everything they want to make.
Yeah, that's an issue for sure. But in the past, they have used not for Powerwall, but for Power Pack.
Yeah, they use third-party batteries.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on to what's coming in the rest of the EV world 2019. We're just going to go through a few cars that we know are coming. Like, the Audi e-tron, we talked a lot lately because I did my first drive review. It should have come in 2019. That's a car that we've been thinking 2018 about, but they had some delays with the software issues, and now the first official deliveries are planned in Europe in Q1 2019, in the next few days, basically, and Q2 for the US. So, pretty excited about this one. Looks like it's going to be not a compliance car, but a full-fledged model that Audi is bringing into their SUV lineup, and they're going to deliver as many as they can, as many as people are buying, which is great. Again, not impressed by the efficiency of the car, but everything else looks awesome. So I think it's gonna find a market, I think.
Yeah, and almost making up for the efficiency is its charge rate, which can go over 150 kilowatts and stay that way almost to 80% of charge.
Yeah, for sure.
So if electricity cost isn't a concern, it's certainly certainly nice, even though you're not going to get as far on a kilowatt hour as you would in a Tesla or a Hyundai.
Even a high pace.
Yeah, even a high pace, which wasn't terribly good.
In terms of efficiency.
Yeah, and efficiency.
Mercedes-Benz EQC 2019. This one is should come in the second half, I think, of the year, or the next few months, maybe.
And we don't have... We've been seeing quite a few of these just like spy shots and like around Germany.
Yeah, being in tested. The wild.
Yeah,
this one, it has a little bit smaller battery pack in terms of energy capacity than the e-tron, but it's going to compete in the same segment, basically. And like the e-tron, what we like about it is that like it looks like any other like good-looking Mercedes-Benz SUV that they have. It just happens to be all electric. We may have some concern also on efficiency. We're going to see what when we actually get to drive the car, what we get out of it. But yeah, pretty exciting. It's just the price. We don't have all the information about it. Some people have been seeing starting at around 70,000, which would be impressive. The e-tron started at 75, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 75. So if they can get a little bit cheaper than e-tron, that'd be cool.
Also, slower charging. 110 kilowatts versus 150 plus.
Yeah, that's certainly in the cons column. The Mini Electric 2019 finally coming. I mean, that's one car that's long overdue.
Coming back, you mean?
Yeah, sort of coming back. BMW Mini E. That was like what, 2008, 2009?
Yeah, that was back in the early days.
Yeah.
Too bad they cut it out.
Yeah, it was a good car. And you know what? I want to pull out the specs of the Mini E and compare them when they finally release those specs. We don't have them, by the way, the specs of the new Mini. But I don't think it's going to be like that big of an improvement over 10 years. So that's a kind of a bummer. Because why I say that is BMW is coming up with a new fifth generation electric powertrain system, which we went actually to Munich earlier this year to check out, and I was pretty impressed by what they were doing. But the thing is, even though there are 6 years between the last BMW full model launch, to be fair, though, we're talking about the i3, and they did improve on the i3 over the years, but it was released in 2013. Now they're releasing the Mini in 2019, and the Mini Electric. I don't think it's Mini E anymore. But it won't get that new fifth gen electric powertrain. They're waiting for the iX3 next year to release that. So it's going to be less efficient for sure than what they're doing right now, because I've actually seen a fifth gen prototype battery pack next to the Mini electric battery pack that they're doing. And like, you know, everybody's going to the skateboard style pack. And that's definitely what BMW is doing with the fifth gen. But with the Mini E, they had like a Volt style battery pack with the T system. Yeah.
Hmm.
So it was like thicker. It wasn't. The electric skate is the way to go for sure. And I was really disappointed they didn't have that. So people are talking about maybe 150 miles of range, which is definitely more than what the Mini E was doing. But and it's still good for an urban car.
So you think they're just going to put like an i3 battery in there?
I3 battery is not, but the i3 is not a T, right? It's like
it's a
bump, and it's a sort of skate style with a bump. So I don't think it's going to be exactly that, but I mean, 150 miles is the expectation. BMW i3, which is the next car we're going to talk about, 2019, even though it's not a new one, they kind of release a new battery pack, 42 kilowatt hour. I think maybe it could be a 42 kilowatt hour pack in that Mini Electric to get 150 miles. The 2019 i3 gets 153 miles out of that 42 battery pack, and it's going to be a little bit bigger than the electric, right? The Mini Electric, because Mini Electric is a two door, though the i3 is basically two door with
it's pretty like close.
The suicide doors. It's going to be pretty close. Yeah, maybe you're right. But the form factor of the pack, if that was really a prototype for the Mini Electric that I saw in Munich, it wasn't the same as the i3. The Leaf is also coming with, like we said, we should know all the details next week when they finally supposedly launched a vehicle with a 60 kilowatt battery pack. We're going to finally get the confirmation if it is indeed have an active cooling system. That would be great. Not 100% sure yet. There have been a lot of rumors about it, but not confirmed. We're going to see. And that should bring finally the range of the Leaf over 200 miles of range, which is going to make it competitive with the Bolt and other vehicles like that. The Kona, and maybe not. Yeah, the Kona. The Taycan. Would you agree that it's the most anticipated one in 2019?
I think so. Did we? Yeah. Yeah. I would. I mean, certainly if I was given the opportunity to have a non-Tesla, I would probably pick a Taycan.
Yeah, because it's the one that has like the most exciting feature, new feature that's brought in, which is like we already discussed, the 800 volt system. Even though it's like, oh, it's another high-end vehicle and many auto manufacturer or focusing on the higher end for electric and everything. Yeah, sure, but at least they're pushing the whole market further. I mean, now the Taycan has a 800 volt system. For sure, in 5 years, you're going to see a $40,000 car with a 800 volt system, right?
You would imagine.
And fairly
convincing. Or more, you know? Like,
yeah.
Things are moving fast.
Yeah, they are. In 5 years is 5 years.
Do we talk about the Leaf?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Just we went over it too fast, you think? Well, I mean, it's not like a new car. That's my point. Like,
well, the thing is, though, we don't know. Like, we don't even know for sure if it's going to be 60 kilowatt or 65 kilowatt or 55 kilowatt. I mean, the rumors are all 60 kilowatt, and we've seen stuff. But there could be other stuff, like improving the car. And Nissan has very competitive prices. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all that combined may make a pretty good package.
Yeah. And they still have their full tax credit in the U.S. for like a few...
That's what's strange to me, because they've been selling Leafs forever.
Like, but I think they're going to hit it this quarter or something.
Yeah.
They've been selling Leaf forever, but they've been, like, the sales, like, for a few years, they went down, like, fast.
Right.
So, but yeah, the Taycan, for it, it's going to be a late 2019, it's coming to market. Kia Niro. We didn't mention the Kona EV because officially they already started their sales. Maybe not in the U.S., but they started deliveries already back
only
in Europe.
In California, yes.
In California, they started deliveries too? Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, a very small, you know, just to get under the year number. And you can't even order them in New York yet.
Yeah. The Niro is going to come out, though, this year and very similar to the Kona, a little bit different form. But the powertrain itself should be very similar. Still at 64 kilowatt hour for the longer range version, and the 39, which is still not available in the Kona either, for the base version, and very competitive pricing. But like we said, carb states only, and especially California for the beginning. Don't have much use on the car because we haven't had a chance to drive it yet. But like I said earlier, we will later this month. So we be on the lookout for a first drive review of that in the next few weeks. The last one is one that sort of have a question mark to it, even though Volvo have been saying that they're going to release their first all-electric vehicle this year. It doesn't clear which one is going to be, but they said an all-electric version of the XC40 is coming. So what I assume is that's going to be the first one, but the first one under the Volvo brand. We're going to talk about the Polestar 2 in a second, but which is the electric brand of the Volvo. But my understanding is that Volvo also won their own electric vehicle under their own brand, and the X40 should be the first one, which should come by the end of the year, but not 100% sure about that one. But the Polestar, yeah, let's talk about the Polestar real quick, because they're being weird about it. I mean, they're really like pushing the Tesla competitor thing, which is rare for an automaker, really. The media often push it, like the Tesla killer appellation. That's most of the time is the media. But really, will an automaker even use another competitor's name in a press release and stuff? And they keep doing it for that Polestar 2 vehicle. And this week, they released the first image of it, which is like a bird's eye view of the trunk, the rear end of the car.
Yeah, it's not terribly exciting, to be honest, but...
No, it looks cool.
Looks cool, but I don't know.
Yeah, and they said first full BEV for Polestar and the Volvo Group. 300 miles of range.
That's good.
That's good, but
any DC?
I'd like to know. Yeah, maybe any DC. This so is based on Europe.
Real miles.
Yeah, even though they should be using the WLTP, but I don't know. They didn't mention anything. So 400 HP. Again, not final spec. Fastback body type. That's nice. It's going to have the latest Google Android Car UI system.
That's kind of cool. I checked that out at Google I.O. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, with
the basically
Google
you're talking to your car.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sometimes like, every car, especially the premium market, they all have that voice recognition system. But, I mean, there's not, Google Assistant really kills everything else, right?
Yeah, and this is a little bit more. It's not like music. It's like turn down the air conditioning, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's not just about entertainment.
Yeah, and one of the points that they said is that it will be sold in the Tesla Model 3 price range. So they even they mentioned again the Tesla Model 3. But I think they mean the price range like right now.
Right.
They don't mean like the 3,500 because we posted earlier this year an interview with the is it the Volvo? No, it's the Polestar CEO Thomas Hengelat, and he mentioned something like 40,000 euros, which would make like close to 50,000 US. So it's a basically this range. And he said earlier this year, so that we were talking about when is going to Volvo release their first electric vehicle. They said 2019 first. They said 2020 for normally for the Polestar 2. But now they say that it's going to come right after the Polestar 1, which should come in second half of 2019. So, I don't know. Maybe the timing has changed. We're going to see. And we're going to see the full car, full spec in the next in the coming weeks, they said. So, coming weeks, there's the Detroit Auto Show. That's next week. There's CES. That's next week. Or is they going to do their home thing? I don't know. Yeah, because they, well, more European, maybe. So, is there a show coming to Europe? That's just Geneva is not there.
I feel like there's always a show somewhere.
There's always something going on, right? All right. Do we have any question about what to expect in 2019 from our readers right now? On the
so we're looking at our YouTube comment top chat.
Yeah, on the YouTube feed.
I was looking earlier. There was some. Something about the boring machine.
What about the boring machine?
Driving the boring thing. I don't think you got to drive it yet.
No. Well, when we went in July, they sort of like look. I don't think anyone's gonna ever like drive the machine, but
yeah, it doesn't sound safe.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense to
also,
let someone do that.
It goes 0 miles per hour. So.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense. But what they did when we went with the hat contest that we won, that's basically the experience of driving the machine that they gave us, where they bring us to the full head of the machine, where and then they explain to us exactly how it works and everything. You just don't press on, basically. But I don't think you want to be in the head when it's actually working. So we went there when it wasn't working. And I wouldn't want to be there.
Loud and vibrations and stuff.
Yeah, and like there's big like concrete blocks going around you and everything. So I wouldn't be a fan of that. And also, you need to have like an active tunnel digging situation. And they have finished the tunnel in Los Angeles now, so there's no machine in it. And I don't think they have another active one. They should start with a dugout one soon. In LA, and the Chicago one too should start soon.
Yeah, another reader is asking if Tesla put solar panel on roofs of vehicles to charge the batteries, and that's a question we get quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
If you know how much power a car uses, if you're like an engineer and you understand this stuff, and how much sun, how much space that you need of solar panels to power that car.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of understand that solar panels aren't going to be able to power a normal car. Like, they have these things that go across Australia that are basically bicycles, and there's a car company that's actually trying to build a usable solar car.
Lightyear, they're called.
Right, Lightyear. But the problem is like, most of it is charging the batteries, and you know, you get so many miles per day. So the short answer is no, that's probably not going to happen. It's not... Mm-hmm. It's kind of pointless, but it would be nice if there was a solar roof, you know, on the trunk and on the top, if it wasn't glass, that could keep the battery charged or maybe give you like a little bit more, so there's no vampire drain on the Tesla. But I don't.
Yeah, the logic is, if you want to create some solar power to power your car, where is the most efficient place to put solar cells? And it's just not on the car. It's not where it's most efficient. It's most efficient on the roof, so on the stationary roof, and where you can know exactly how much sun you're gonna get throughout the day, which you don't know from a car necessarily. Though you should know, like normally your car is parked at home, is parked at work, so you know basically where it is. But it's really the most efficient place to maintain. So if at some point, like making a solar cell is like super cheap and they are super efficient and everything, then maybe, yeah, it will make sense. It would make sense because it would be super cheap and wouldn't change much anything about your car. But even then, the best place would still be a stationary roof that's exposed to the sun throughout the day. It's just that if it becomes so cheap to make them, then yeah, it could be cool to have them on a car. Just because it's fun to think that your car is generating its own energy, and that's fun in itself.
Even if it's just a little bit of it.
Yeah, even like if let's say that the cells become efficient enough, and you can get your car in the sun enough, like maybe you can get like best case scenario like 20 miles in a day, like best case scenario when the efficiency of the cells went up a lot. Then a lot of people like that's what they're gonna travel per day, like on an average. So
right,
that'd be awesome. So.
So another question, how confident do you think the Tesla Model 3 base will be coming out in June versus, I guess, July or whatever? I think it's a low level of confidence of specifics, but toward the middle of the year, I think makes a lot of sense for a couple reasons. Lowering battery prices, scale, different demand drivers. What are your thoughts on that, Fred? Do you think there would be another tier, like a lower middle range that comes out before?
Yeah, that becomes a lot of thing. Like, right. You're talking about four now. Three makes more sense, I think. I really grown to like the idea of a mid-range one. But they need to bring the base range one for sure. Just on the perspective aspect, like it looks bad for them that I've promised a $35,000 car and never delivered yet. Like it's going to be 2 years into production at one point soon. So, yeah, I think they should be able to make one by mid-year, by around June. The thing is, like, are they going to need one at that point? Depends on, like, how the production rates they had, what happened with China, and what happens with China, and just how strong really is the European market for the Model 3. And then, like we said, maybe the leasing model is going to make more sense to create a dumb and lever for it, because the base Model 3 is going to be a huge one lever, but, like, I think Tesla's going to go through other ones before going there. But as long as they're able to make it mid-year, that'd be great, I think.
All right, one last question. Did anyone find it strange that the name of the software that leaked today, Trip, is almost like Trip, the last name of the whistleblower, with quote, who is or was in legal battle with Tesla?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with that.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, because it's such an important software, and I don't think they would say like his name to it. And also, it didn't have anything to do with the autopilot program. Like it was like this whole thing was about battery cells and everything. So, like it's not like a jab at him or anything like that. Probably it's an acronym for sure, right? Trip.
Right.
Like it has to be an acronym for something.
I'm sure.
We just haven't figured it out yet. But yeah, no, it doesn't have to do with Martin Trip is his name. Martin.
Right.
Very nice guy.
I'm sure.
Not religious at all. We love him.
Seems like a nice fellow. All right.
All right. So that's it for the questions.
That's it.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. And, well, a quick announcement while we're at it. So tomorrow I'm leaving for Los Angeles. I'm going to be there for a month or maybe more. We'll see. Mainly just to escape the winter here, which is starting to get nasty again. But while I'm in LA, if you guys have like cool EV stuff too that you'd like to have a feature on electric or something, reach out to me. I have my contact information in there, on the website and everything. So I'd be happy to check it out. Leaving there tomorrow and be there at least throughout the month of January, and then maybe later we'll see it. All right, thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for our YouTube subscriber, our Patreon supporters, our podcast listeners. We'll see you in the same place, same time next week. Ciao.